Hi everyone, welcome back to Central Point Podcast. It's me, Shireen. I hope that you have had a good previous week, and thank you for returning this week to delight, to center in, to position yourself always, right, as child of God. Okay, so that's not my name. A song might have popped in your head. I'm not going to sing it, nor am I endorsing it. But a song might have popped into your head, or a song might not have popped into your head. I don't know, depending on the person that you are. And once again, we are focusing in on identity, right? And how we identify and how we see ourselves and how that anchors us and how that keeps us. But talking about names, I have a question. What's in a name? And does it really matter to you, that is, if someone calls you by another name? Are you precious about it? Are you protective of it? Do you like your name? If not, I'm sorry about that. What name do you ask your friends to call you by? I personally have many names. My name is Shireen, but my nicknames range from Sheeny to Peanut, honestly. And it's all love. It's all love and it's all personal. And I quite enjoy the range of names that I am called by. But I must confess, if someone says to me, "Oh, I know another Shireen," my instant response, like without fail, I ask, are they nice? Do you like them? Are they a good person? Because in that moment, what matters is the person that also has my name is a good person. All of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, are they, you know, are they kind? Do you like being in their presence? I'm now worried about this other Shireen. Why? I have no idea. It's just something that happens for me if someone goes, oh, I know another Shireen. I'm not like, oh, cool. I'm like, so how does that make you feel? Yeah, that's me. So one day I was looking at the meaning of my name. And I'm not really sure what it was I was reading, but I was reading something at the time. This is like a few years ago. And they had suggested looking at the meaning of your name. And I always knew the meaning of my name because I looked it up way, way ago. And so anytime I meet a Persian person and I tell them my name, they're like, oh, I'm like, I know, sweet, right? They're like, yes. But I don't know if it was a devotional or a book that I was reading at the time. And it said to look up your name, your name's meaning in the Bible. And I was like, well, I know it means sweet. So then I looked up what sweet meant in the Bible, or where it was in the Bible. And it caused me to, what did it, I had a moment. Because I went from, oh, my name means sweet, that's sweet, right? To this sort of profound awareness. Because the first mention of sweet in the Bible was in Genesis, and it's in reference to a sweet savor from a burnt offering that's made by Noah. And then in the covenant, well, the covenant is given, God promises not to flood the earth again. So sweet savor was there, and my mind went straight to living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. And it was just, for me, like a moment of, wow. You know? There was a moment of wow for me. Because this is what we are called to live like, right? And that's in Romans 12. I'm going to read it because it's just who we are. Sorry, I might randomly sing on these things too. Who, you know, we're just going to go for it, go with it. Romans 12, verses 1, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that transforming by the renewing of your mind, I'm sure I'm going to explore it all by itself in another episode, but it does tie in beautifully with identity and how you see yourself and how you... Oh, yes, it's good for this episode. It's good for all the episodes. But when I had looked at my name in the Bible and that scripture came to mind, I don't know. How do I explain it? A settling happened in me and a prayer went up. And I think I valued my name even more for that reminder. No longer was it just simply sweet, which is cute, right? Ooh. But I can't say sweet. When I say sweet to other people, what comes to me is sweet savour. I don't have to tell people, oh, and biblically sweet savour, and then you become that person who just like trails off into all these random things. No, but for me, for myself, when I talk to others and they go, oh, your name means sweet, I'm like, yeah. But inside of me, I am reminded of sweet savour. Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. It's centering. It causes a delight because instead of it being a pressure, oh, I must be holy. I must live in a way that's acceptable to God. Burden, weight, heaviness. No, because I know my life is hid in Christ, the very image of the invisible God, right? He has made me this way. He has made it possible for me to be seen this way. He is the reason I can be called holy. I can live a holy life. It just causes some delighting. It causes me to delight. That is what my name does. And while I was doing this, what was added to that was God being a consuming fire. And that is in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. And I'll read it because, again, it's just, ooh, celebrate. But for me, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, can I get an amen? Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Oh, wait, I just had a moment where that just connects with the other verse. Completely. Oh, I love real-time moments. I guess Lord just like holds things off for the recording of things so I can like delight further when I share, which is nice. So I'm going to read that bit again. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And this is the verse, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Ah, yay. If someone is listening and going, consuming fire, that sounds terrible. It sounds like it would destroy me. It sounds like destruction. The next story, well, not even a story, historic event that we're going to read nicely segues into this. And by God's grace, this consuming fire will be a comfort, actually. Yeah. Oh, why am I excited? If I'm the only one getting excited, you know, that's okay. So what do I mean? So we're going to be in Daniel 1. Because the title is That's Not My Name. And I'm pretty sure if you've been in Christian circles a while, if you're an attendee of church, you might know of the three, well, there's four people whose names were changed, but I'm going to focus on three individuals. What probably comes to your mind first is what their name isn't. And if it's not, look at you. Give yourself that like pat on the shoulder. But usually, the names that come out of our mouths are not their actual names. And that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure you know them. I'm sure you know them. If you don't, welcome, welcome. You're about to get to know them. And with the one we do know is Daniel, because no one, I mean, you might do, but I personally do not ever refer Daniel as Belteshazzar. Ever. Like, never. I'm not like, oh, and then, you know, Belteshazzar just decided not to eat the king's meat. Look at him go. Stand on business, Belteshazzar. Like, that doesn't happen. But when we talk about the Hebrew boys, it's like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're fireproof. Oh, that was a big spoiler for that, doesn't know those who don't know the story. But yeah, we do that, right? We go about their uncompromising faith and what they stand on. I don't really hear Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah come out as quickly and as smoothly. So why are we focused on the name rather than what's usually focused on is, you know, uncompromise and God and all these things. It's a beautiful historic account. It's a beautiful place to go and peel back so many layers. And we're going to stick to identity here, because back in those beautiful times, names meant a whole lot. And we're just going to look at what they were given instead of. And it's just feisty. For me, as a child of God who loves the Lord, you know, don't be putting your idols on me. Absolutely not. So Hananiah, it means God has favored. Hallelujah. Like, absolutely. I just feel like I would be like, yeah, favored of the Lord. But he was given the name Shadrach, meaning not to eat the king's meat. Look at him go. Stand on business, Belteshazzar. Like, that doesn't happen. Mishael means who is what God is. So basically, who is like God? And can I get a witness? Someone just shout, nobody. Nothing. Did I feel good? I hope you shouted it. Go, just confess with your mouth. Let it resonate inside of you. Like, no one is like my God. Hallelujah. You guys will get used to me. I will be more calm, I'm sure. But I just love this. So Meshach means who is like Shaq. And I just felt like that was just a direct counterfeit to his name. It's like they heard his name was like, well, who is like your God? Who is like our Shaq? If that's how you say it, which was the Babylonian Venus. I'm like, the absolute feisty. But yes, so his name, who is like Shaq. But also in the Strong's Concordance, it says guest of a king. I mean, guest of the Babylonian king. I'm good. I'm really, really good. Azariah, our final Hebrew boy, Yehovah has helped. And I just, these names, by the way, coincide beautifully with their stance. Ooh, it's so good. It's so good. Their name meanings and then the way they stand later in like front of this king is just like, what did you say? What did you try and call me? What did you try and put on me? Absolutely not. So Azariah was changed. Well, they gave him the name Abednego, which means servant of Nado, apparently the god of wisdom and writing. One of the patron gods of the Babylonian rulers, whatever. We've got powerful, beautiful names that house their God, house the testimony of their God, the goodness of their God, who their God is. You know, that's like their names are like, whoa. And then they come, get taken into captivity and get given these whack names associated with something they do not associate with. No, it's a problem. It's a problem. From true worship to false worship. From belonging to God to seemingly becoming a possession of Babylon. They try to strip them of their identity. Because if you can take from somebody who they are, then you can mold them into what you want them to be. If you give someone the power to take from you who you are. You also give them the power to speak, mold and fashion you into what they want you to be. And then you kind of cave into whatever they say, do, whatever it is. And I'm here to say, absolutely not, child of God. Absolutely not, beloved daughter and son of God. Because you know why? You are free. You are free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Know yourself. Know yourself. Okay, I'm going to read. Oh, sorry, I also like this connection. You probably won't have noticed, but in the first episode, it was Genesis 1, then Genesis 3. Yeah, Daniel 1, now Daniel 3. I just, yeah. If you're like, shrug. I was like, wow, look at this. This is great. But this is me. I'm goofy and things like this I like. So, Daniel 3, a story that we know really well. Let us look at how these three Hebrew boys, because they're three Hebrew boys. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, how they stood. I'm going to read the account. We're going to skip through different verses, but the story will be there. We're going to start in verse 1, and then I'm going to skip, and we're just going to hop through the chapter. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations and tongues, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Verse 12. There are certain Jews from whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, because they were skilled, because they were favored of the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods, hallelujah, or worship the gold image which you have set up. Can I get a testimony, a witness? Yes. You better let them know I don't do these things. You know what I mean? You're just like, go, brothers, go. Continuing on. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" Anyone guess jarred how many times you're hearing these names as well? Goodness, like we get it. We get it. You renamed them. "That you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready," for me, I don't know, maybe it's the actor in me, but the absolute audacity and sass in that. "Now, if you are ready," like we, acting like we weren't ready before, "we will never be ready to worship other gods, O king." Forgive me, guys. This might happen a lot when I start reading scriptures. Like, I don't like passively read. I really just read and I'm like, mm-mm. Verse 15. "Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made." And it says here, good. And I had to go look at the like Strong's to see if the good was actually there, but it was added, right? Because in the King James Version, it's well, but in the New King James Version, it says good, because I was like, the audacity, like my brain went to Genesis 1, right? Because we were just in the creation story in the first episode. And I didn't mention how God had said, hey, everything he made was good. But the audacity for me to read, the worship the image, which I have made good. I'm like, this counterfeit, I am God nonsense of this king. Just, yeah, had me feel in a certain sort of way, people. You know, so you guys are getting a glimpse of me in my quiet time with God. It's quiet, but not, if that makes sense. Continuing on, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And catch the question. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Well, if he called them by their real names, he might have got a glimpse, but let's continue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Come on now. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. Oh my gosh, you know. And Prince of Egypt, deliver us. That just came into my head just then. Focus, Shireen. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. And then verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know, when you just know you're in good company, like, child of God, this is your company, right? This is your family. This is your community, okay? Standing on business. I am God has favored. I am who is like God. I am Yehovah has helped. Our God is in our name. You think I'm gonna go against who God has said I am? His. And even prostrate down and give what is to my God, to your dead golden image? What you will not have me do is act out like I don't know who I am. I know who I belong to, and it is not to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. You know? I want us to just know who you belong to. Oh, please know who you belong to. Because they are so aware of who they belong to and the goodness of that person, the God that they belong to, that they can declare, but if not, like, their worship, commitment, their, I don't know, loyalty to God isn't dependent on what God can do for them. It is because he is and they are his. Come on. He is and they are his. Because if he doesn't, they want Nebuchadnezzar to know that they do not serve his small g gods. And they will not worship a man-raised statue. Life gone, life staying. Period. Child of God, child of God. And these young men are in captivity. They are actually in captivity. If anything about us saying their name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it reminds us that they were not free. It keeps us in remembrance that they were not free, but able to hold down who they were. They were to hold down who they were when they were stripped of their freedom. You, beloved, are free. You, beloved, are free. Galatians 4, That's a Galatians 4:31. So in Galatians 4, Paul is making a reference of the two covenants and the bondwoman and the free woman. And verse 31 says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." We are children of promise. And God is not man that he should lie. And God is a promise-keeping father. We are in a supreme position. So if Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah can hold down who they are in captivity, beloved, best believe, you can by the very Spirit of God. Hold down who you are as a free individual. You can. He has given us his Spirit. Hallelujah. He has given us his Spirit. That was the promise. We're the children of promise. He has given us that promise. Shall we read that promise? Shall we go? Let's look at that. John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Anyone just want to delight for a moment? The gift of knowing God, the gift of knowing Jesus, the privilege of actually knowing Christ and accepting Christ. It is a big deal. It is a big deal, beloved, this position that you're in, the reality that you live in. It's a big deal. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." In you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's just great, 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 great news. Do you believe God? Genuine question. I mean, think about it. Do you believe God? Do you know what the Spirit of God in you produces? What it does? What it allows you to walk in? The character that you possess because of it, the love that you pour out because of it, and not just to others, to yourself. John 16, verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, beloved, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Beloved, you are children of the promise. The promise of Holy Spirit being given has been given. Free, redeemed, saved. Beloved child of God. Let's continue reading this story. Because the last thing we heard from those fantastic brothers in the faith is that we're not going to bow down. Whether he saved us or not, we don't do that, is what we heard. So what happens is, as they had said twice, they were put in the fire. That's me just skipping over. They were put in the fire. The fire was heated up like seven times more. And the guards that went to take the brothers in the faith to the fiery furnace died upon arrival. They passed, they died from the, I don't know, the smoke, the fumes, the intense heat. They couldn't cope. They dropped down dead. But the Hebrew boys went into the fire. From verse 24. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound oh, and there's the thing, bound into the midst of the fire. They answered and said to the king, true, O king, like, you know, yes, I, we did that. We threw them in there, bound, chained. Mm-hmm, they're in there, crispy, crispy, you know. I could just imagine like the oomph of confirming that we did what you said, O king. Verse 25, look, he answered. They're like, okay, yeah, crispy Hebrew boys. Sorry, that's so graphic, but you know, they're like, okay, let's look. He answered, I see four men loose. Hallelujah. This little dance break, because that's our God. Okay, great. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Our Father sent. I believe this is Jesus. I believe the Father was like, mm-mm. Going on in there. I believe that this is Jesus. The fourth man in the fire furnace is Jesus. In whatever form before he's coming into this fire. There are four men, not three. Four in the midst of the fire. Fireproof, fireproof. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, continuing to read from verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, and here he went near the mouth of the fire. Remember, the guards died on arrival. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's verse 22. So they died, taking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace. But here we have the king being spared, because that's our God. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire, fiery furnace, and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Did he say the Most High God? You better put the right words in your mouth. Hallelujah. And man says, come out and come here. Again, audacity. You threw me in. See, this is why it's not me in the story. I'll be like, come get me. You put me in. Come get me out then. My name's Shireen, and maybe sometimes I'm not so sweet. But yes, he said, come out and come here. I'm not sure how they climbed out of that thing. I'm not really sure what it looked like, you know. Have no clue. But yeah. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. The fire is still burning. It didn't, you know, there wasn't four men loose, and the fire got lapped up, and the poof. Little smoke, and it's whoa, through the smoke the three Hebrew boys ascend out of it. Now the fire is still there, hot, still burning. They're like, ah, let's, that was nice and warm, let's get out of here. it's amazing. Verse 27, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I mean, there's no evidence. There is no evidence of what you tried to do to me. Understand? There is no evidence of what you tried to do to me. In your nonsense, in your audacity, in your counterfeit worship, in your idol nonsense. You can't put on me what you think you tried to do. There is no remnants of it. Yeah, how amazing that is. I'm going to bring this back to like today and how we treat ourselves and how other people treat us. Mom, trust me, it's going to come round. It's going to come round, guys. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed. This is the 180 that I love. And I'm just like, yes, Lord. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's words, and yielded their bodies again. Going back to, this is what I was saying about Shireen and the meaning of and how it tied in super well with this message. I was like, oh Lord, this is so nice. I didn't even know that was going to be the case until I studied this. And yielded their bodies, and in my head, living sacrifice, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And now we have a decree. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made an ash heap. Because there is no other God who can deliver like this. You know how he asked the question before? Because he's being cocky. In verse 15, he asked them, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And he answered his own question, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, I don't know if you could, I would clap, but I don't want to go down the mic. You give God some claps, you know what I mean? Praise him. Confess his goodness right now. Just rejoice in that. Absolutely rejoice in that. Wow. Wow. Okay. So you, beloved, today, now, 2025, all of this, it's like, okay, that's good. I know the story. How do you talk to yourself? What names do you call yourself? Especially, and I'm talking to those who are new creations in Christ. That's what, those who have been reborn. I'm talking to the reborn individuals, those who have stepped into, taken hold of Jesus, believed the Lord, saved by grace, taken hold of it. I'm talking to you, beloved. I'm talking to you right now. Those who have not yet made that decision, you've got beautiful things coming up. This applies to you too. I'm talking to those who have already done that and made that choice. What have you carried into your new creation, new life from back then? What words, characteristics, habits have people spoken over you, or you spoken over yourself and acted like, oh, well, this is just something I'm always going to deal with. Oh, this is just who I am. Stop, pause, just get out of here with that. Just get out of here with that. This today, make it be whatever day this is that you listen to this podcast episode. May this be the last day you ever tell yourself this is who you are, with some sort of old habit, some recurring sin, some, I don't even know, whatever it is that is so contrary to God's wonderful best for you. I say absolutely not. See, for me, and this might sound odd because it seems very humble to keep it in the forefront for some individuals, but for me, it just puts down what God has saved. You can't tell me I'm a sinner. You won't put that on me. I'm a child of God who at times falls. I'm not a sinner. If I fall, I am not delighting in my falling. I'm not sitting there going, well, it is what it is. No, I'm not adamant and staying in it and not asking for help to be rescued from it or anything like that. I am not a sinner. I'm not living in a sinful state. Don't call me that. That's the past me. That is the me before Jesus. Sinner, unaware that I need a savior. A sinner, unaware that I am in need of help. Sinner, unaware that I have adoption papers to grab hold of because I'm a child, because God has done it, because Jesus has done it, because I am forgiven. Previous person. I am not a sinner. Just because I have sin and have capacity to sin. And I also won't boast about it either. Sort of like, oh, I probably sinned like 100 times in my head today and I just didn't know about it. What are you talking about? Why are we keeping that sin consciousness, that sin awareness, that sinner in front, instead of like, God, what God has done, who God has called you to be? I know this might sound new and you might be thinking, what do you mean? I'm a sinner saved by grace. There's nothing wrong in saying that. Okay, I'm a child of God saved by grace. What's wrong with saying that? I'm a child of God, now living by grace. What's wrong in saying that instead? Why is sinner the first thing you're hearing rather than child of God? Just want to challenge you a little bit. You might in your head say, well, this keeps me humble. What's more humbling than knowing you're the child of like God, love, faithfulness, goodness? What is more humbling than that? Is it not the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? How something so perfect. This is your life in Christ. The miracle is you. The miracle is Christ living in you. The miracle is how your character has been formed into love. How you are able to stand in this world and love others the way Christ has loved you. That is a miracle. If you see yourself correctly, beloved, you will see others correctly too. And you will be able to identify when someone is operating out of not who they are. So you will not hold things against them. They do not know who they are. They cannot, in a way, act any other way. They're going to act according to who they think they are. And you must, as we are going through this world, know exactly who you are. The world will act like the world. Okay. You are meant to shine. And you've been given the Holy Spirit to shine. For you to be in awe of your life. And as people are in awe, watching your life. And then watch them want to be a part of that awe. And then they get in awe of their life because they take hold of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we Christian? Why are we here? Why are you here, beloved? Because He is so good. Because we want to be Christ here on earth. We're ambassadors for Christ. We want to represent Him here. We want to be the light so the world can see how dark it is and come to the light. Hallelujah. So what's in a name? A whole lot and a whole little, as we saw with the counterfeit names given. It's like, you can try with that name. Absolutely not. Do you know what your name means? If you do, look it up in the Bible. I would love to hear what people have found out. Even if your name does mean something like bitter, just look up a story around it. Even when I think of that, if your name does mean bitter, I'm saying that because I looked at the opposite of my name, of sweet. There is a point in the Bible where waters are turned sweet from being bitter, right? There's a miracle there. And then you can look at that miracle, right? Even words that you might think have a negative connotation. Probably have a story of the goodness of God around it. And so your name will remind you of the goodness of God in that situation. Look it up. Look at the meaning of your name. Look at that meaning in the Bible. Look at what's around. And that could be just your little secret. Or you can share it like I shared it today. When people ask you, what does your name mean? And you're like, oh, it means candle. And then your brain is then triggered to remind yourself of being the light of the world. Or the candlestick in the temple, whatever it is. And He just holds you. A praise goes up. A prayer goes up. A rejoicing happens because our Father is exceptional. And that's That's today. I really enjoyed this one. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Father, thank you. Thank you so much for these accounts that we can read and we can just get amped up that our Father is the same yesterday as he is today, as you are tomorrow. You are so good. There is nothing that you won't do because you've already done it all. You've already fulfilled the promise that you gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. You have done it, and therefore, because you would not even spare your son who you gave because you love us. If you would not hold back your son, there is nothing you will hold back in keeping us here in this world. In having us walk out a loving, abundant life. There is nothing you will not do to remove the old version of us that was before we knew you, before we had you, before Holy Spirit was given. It is promised and it is done, and that is a beautiful, magnificent, and wonderful thing. And we just want to thank you. We've got praise in our hearts, we got praise in our spirit, dear Lord. And I pray for everyone who is listening in this time that you just give them eternal eyes, Father God. Give them eternal eyes to see themselves correctly the way you see them, so they can position themselves right and they can position others rightly, dear Lord. That they can delight in being a child of a loving Father. That they too are fireproof, dear Lord. There is no searching of your ways, and there's just no measuring your capacity to love us. Be with us in this upcoming week. May the historic account of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah resonate, dear Lord. There are so many levels and layers to this account. May hearts be lifted and delighted. And bring us together again in episode 3. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you watching, listening in, being a part of this community. I will see you next episode by God's grace. And we're going to be focusing on Jesus. But like an account of Jesus. I know this is all about Jesus, but like Jesus' specific example of knowing who he is. I'm looking forward. I see you then. Bye.